Thank you so much, team, for leading us in worship. The grace of God is beyond measure. And it is because of that grace that there is salvation. Isn't that wonderful? When we're home, I love to sit and listen to Pastor Derek preach. But he needs a break as well, so I'm glad to fill in for him. And I have a question for you this morning. It's this: will you see the kingdom of God? Yes? No? Well, you'll come to an answer before I'm done. There's nothing more important for a person than to know that he's going to heaven when he dies. All of us are dying. Where are you going to be when your body no longer lives? We are eternal souls. And the Bible tells us that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And we will be either in heaven or in hell. God does not want us to go to hell. But people are going there today. Probably here in Winnipeg today. And it's important that we examine our own hearts. Maybe you are thinking in your heart, heaven? Well, you know, I hope I go there. Let me tell you this. A hope-so Christian doesn't get there. You have to be a no-so Christian. We read in 1 John chapter 5, and we're not going to be turning to that. I'm just going to read part of that and or say something about part of it. There, the Apostle John writes, I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know this? Maybe you do. Maybe you hope you do. If you really have eternal life, and we're going to be coming to this, other people will know it too. And so, this morning, you have some handouts there, and we're going to read a passage of Scripture that is very familiar, and you've heard messages on this passage, but reviews are not bad, generally. And so, we'll read from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 1 and go down to verse 15. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, and cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him and said, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Now, these last four words are not in the leading manuscript. So we'll read it again and leave those last four words out, and some of your translations are not even going to have those last four words. No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus knew the heart of Nicodemus. And he knows the heart of every person in this world. God is all-knowing. There's nothing hidden by God. He knows what your heart is like, what you are thinking, the questions that you have. God knows all about this. And he has an answer for those questions as well. And here was Nicodemus. And he was wondering, what is this Jesus all about? And so Nicodemus came with an amazing statement. He said, he was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the highest court and the highest council of Israel, the council that actually decided on the death of Jesus. And Nicodemus was not for that, but many years earlier, we're there now at this story where Nicodemus first meets Jesus. And he says, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know that. And God knows your questions, as he knew Nicodemus' question. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Will you see the kingdom of God? That was my question. Unless you are born from above, born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, what did Nicodemus think? Nicodemus knew that that was not possible, but he was just wondering, What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean? Jesus answered him, I say unto you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The natural birth is the birth of a child from its mother. There it is, that unborn baby in its mother's womb and protected by a bag of water, and the water breaks and the baby is born. Some call that being born of water. And that's probably part of it. But there probably is a little more to this that Nicodemus had in mind. You see, Jesus said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit. And when Jesus said that, probably Nicodemus thought of whom? John the Baptist. Because the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they came to the baptisms of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who comes after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to bear, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That will be coming sometime later. But here, he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. That's probably what John was thinking of, what Nicodemus was thinking about, being baptized with water and the Spirit. And here Nicodemus is in the presence of the Son of God, of Jesus, the Creator of all things. Here he is. Can you be in the presence of a holy God and not know that you're a sinner? No, you can't. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner saved by grace? We were singing about grace. Yes, indeed. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not one person is left out, but there is grace, the grace of God. And Nicodemus, no doubt, knew of his sin. And John said, "I baptize with water unto repentance." What does the word repent mean? You know what the word repent means? It means change your mind, turn around. So, here we walk. Our daily walk as unsafe people. And all of a sudden, bang! Whoa! We are faced with the fact that we're wrong. I'm a sinner. Repent means to recognize this and then to turn around and come to Christ. Place your trust in Christ, and he will change you. He changes a person from the inside out. When you have repented of your sins, and you have to repent of your sins, you have to make this turnaround. When you have repented of your sins, and Christ has come into your life, you will change. You cannot continue in sin. Just think, you have come to Christ, and the Holy Spirit has come within you, and Jesus talks about this fact in John chapter 14, verses 16 and on, chapter 14. There we read the following. I have to see here. 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Who had been the comforter for the disciples up to this point? Jesus. He's going away now, and he said, "I'm going to give you another comforter." And notice what he says about this. I will give you another comforter, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Think of it. The Holy Spirit lives in your life if you have come to Jesus, and he lives there for eternity. He never leaves us. And This Holy Spirit, he changes us. Can the Holy Spirit sin? Can the Holy Spirit live in sin? No. This John that wrote the gospel and also the book of Revelation, he also wrote some letters. And in 1 John chapter 2, he says this, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." What are some of the commandments of God? Thou shalt not kill. You shall have no other gods before me. Obey your parents. Thou shalt not commit adultery, immorality. Anything else? Thou shalt not covet. Oh, I love that car. I want it. Anything else? You shall not steal. Okay. It's important to keep the day of God holy. What about lying? Right? Do you know what the Bible tells us about liars? Turn to Revelation if you have your Bibles. 21, verse 8. Here God writes through John to us. "But the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." A person who is born of God cannot continue living in lies. And all of us have lied. I suppose all of us have lied. I have. And I've had to go and ask for forgiveness. I've had to write letters because of that. This was a problem in my life. I don't know if that's a problem in your life. But if the Holy Spirit is in your life, he's going to convict you of that. He's going to reveal to you that you have to repent, turn away from that. Nicodemus was with Jesus. He's holy. And he was convicted of his sin. He needed to repent. And if a person repents, he turns around and he starts walking with Jesus, walking in the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in chapter 5, verse 17, in 2 Corinthians, he says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. All things have become new." How come? Because God is there. We're Christ. We're in Christ. Are you new? This is God's doing. He makes us new. And so, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again." Then Jesus describes how the birth of by the Spirit happens. This being born of water happens. And that we need to repent. And a child born of his mother is born of water. Every child that's born of his mother is a sinner, and that child has to repent. And now, Jesus writes, "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound thereof and cannot tell where it is coming from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." How many of you have ever seen the wind? None of us. You've seen what the wind does, Ollie. But you've never seen the wind. Did you see that? No, we've never seen the wind. So, can you see a baby being born? There are probably some fathers here. They've been there when their baby was born. I remember when Lynette was born. I wasn't in the doctor wouldn't let me in. I probably would have fainted anyway. But in any case, I took Krista to the hospital, and I was feeling woozy, and we had three nurses in that hospital from our church, three nurses, and our church was small. It was maybe not even this big. And they said, go to the other nurse, Mrs. Cowie, go have some breakfast. Anyway, I came back, and Lynette had just been born. And so, I think it was Lil or Marge, I don't know who, came out with her, still all not cleaned up. And she was there wiggling around, and she said, here, take her. And I gingerly took her. They said, she's not going to break, take her. And she needed to come to Christ. You can see a child being born, but you can't see the Holy Spirit come into a person. Zoom! And Peter. No, you can't see that. So like the wind, you can tell that Peter is born again. Why? Because he's different. You can tell that the wind is blowing because the leaves are rattling with wobbling on the tree and the snow is blowing. You can tell that there's a wind. You can tell when a person is born again because of the change in that person's life. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered, he said, are you a teacher? Are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? You see, Nicodemus knew the Old Testament, but somehow he didn't understand it. Because in Psalm 51:10 we read David praying, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And then through Ezekiel, God spoke, and he said to Israel, God to Israel says through Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and my laws and my commandments, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Nicodemus, he was a teacher of Israel. He didn't know this business about the Holy Spirit being in people. Well, we're here now. We're on the other side of the Old Testament. You see, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, that was still the Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit had not been given. But we know all that instruction now. And so we know that we are born of the Spirit. Jesus then said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not believe us. You do not receive our witness. That was the problem. And that's the problem today. There are people who do not receive the witness of God. They do not receive the Bible as being the Word of God. You say, well, I don't. That doesn't change matters. We had a young lady some not that terribly long ago, and I asked something like this. I asked, where are you going when you die? And she said, you want my answer? It's rather crude. 6 feet under. Bang! Listen, if you think that doesn't change God's word. The truth still is there. There is a hell and there is a heaven. Even though you don't believe that and you say, no, not for me. Yeah, also for you. And so, Nicodemus was here, hearing these words from Jesus. And then Jesus says, if I have told you earthly things, and that which Jesus has been speaking about are earthly things, he says, how will you believe when I tell you heavenly things? What are heavenly things? Oh, well, the triune God, that's heavenly. Grace, that's heavenly too, but that's also earthly because it affects us here. But that's good. And the glory of the eternal Lord, that's in the future. That glory exists. Are you going to be part and experiencing that? You know, we live here in this world, and I like to live. I wouldn't mind having a whole big wallet full of money and then still live. But all of this is going to pass away. All of it. All of it. None of that stays. In fact, this world is going to burn up. But we, because of the grace of God, will be living eternally. And God, the Holy Spirit, will be in us. And we can't imagine what eternity is going to be for us, but it is coming. And we can rejoice in it. Jesus continues with something that was very familiar to Nicodemus. We read in verse 14, John chapter 3. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that story there in Numbers chapter 21, where the children of Israel, they were grumbling and they were not pleased with God. And this manna from heaven, that's old bread. We don't want any of that anymore. And God needed to spank the Israelites. And he used various ways to do that so that they would recognize their sin. And this time it had to do with fiery serpents. And he sent these snakes into the camps of the Israelites. And these snakes, they were biting people. They were poisonous, and people were dying all over the place. And the people cried, Moses, pray to God. We've sinned. We need forgiveness. And Moses prayed, and God said to Moses, make a snake out of brass. And then put it on a pole and set it up in the midst of the camp. Then everybody who has been bitten by the snake, if he looks and sees that snake, will live. We've been bitten by the snake of sin, all of us. And Jesus has been lifted up. And Jesus said here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must also be lifted up. And he was lifted up where? On the cross. Why the cross? Why the cross? Well, the wages of sin is death. Now, if you die for your sins, if I die for my sins, where am I going to be? In hell, because I'm guilty. But this is the grace of God. We sang about that. And he put Jesus on the cross, and he rolled all of the sins of this world, all of your sins and your sins and your sins, my sins, the sins of this world. God played them upon Jesus. And because Jesus was made sin for us, the Father turned his back on Jesus. And everything turned black as midnight. And in this blackness, Jesus was separated from the Father. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And all of this because of my sin and your sin. And Jesus, the Son of God, agreed to all of this. The Holy Spirit agreed to it. The Father agreed. This was one act of God. And we cannot imagine how this one God could have experienced this. In his wisdom and by his love, he brought grace about so you and I can live. Are you living? Then we read in verse 15 that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has prepared all of this so you will not perish. But this act of God only helps you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's important that we understand this matter of faith. Faith, you can't just simply say, well, you know, I have faith. I have faith. Oh, yeah? To say that is totally absurd. Faith always requires an object. You believe in something. You have faith in something. I often use this illustration. I may have used it here too. There you are, all sitting in your chairs, totally relaxed. You know what? You have faith in your chair. So there you are. Your chair is the object of your faith in that respect. What about eternity? What's the object of our faith regarding heaven? How can we get there? Can we get there through being good on ourselves, in ourselves? That's the flesh. The answer is no, we can't. Well, I try my best. Well, that's not good enough. How good do we have to be accepted by God? How good? Perfect. As good as God is. Can you be that perfect? No, you can't. So, God has prepared this. Jesus comes into your life and he brings his holiness with him and he makes you holy, and you are standing before God accepted in the holiness of God. And because that holiness is in you, you have been changed in this world, and people see it. There's Claudette. There's Bertha. Thanks a lot, Bertha. And there's Peter. Change people. And these people will be in heaven. Will you see the kingdom of God? If you're not sure of that, you need to come and talk with us. And there are various elders here. We're willing to talk with you and help you so that you won't be a hope-so Christian, but a no-so Christian. So that you will be in heaven. Let's pray. Father, you know our hearts. And our prayer is, oh God, that every one of us would come to you, would be born of God, and be in heaven. Thank you that you speak to us. You're such a kind God, a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. And so we thank you, dear Lord, that you're speaking to our hearts. And I'd like to also say, if we are Christians and if sin has entered into our hearts and we don't know what to do with it, you need to confess it. And if you need help, you come as well, and we can help you from the Bible. Now, Lord, we ask you to direct us through the rest of this day, of this week, of this month, this year, and our life. Lord, here we are. Take us and fill us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to ask the